Hi, everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons Guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, hoy, everybody.
This is one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, yeah. We're getting into top tens at the very least
right here. This is top five.
Yeah.
Maybe two or three. We'll see. I know what my number one is.
We'll get there.
This one is titled Homer the Great, and it is the 12th episode in season 6, and this aired January 8th of 1995.
We're in a new year, first episode of 95.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to open up with the chalkboard and couch gags.
At this time, I'm 8 years old.
8 years old?
Yeah. No, actually, I'm 9 at this point.
9 years old.
Yeah. No. 8. Yeah. Because I'll be 9 that year. Then
Math is hard.
Yes, math is hard. Sorry. Second episode we did today, guys.
Yeah. I was, 19, 20 at this time?
There you go.
Damn. I had a full head of hair. Glorious,
which
glorious
was glorious. You know, we got to, you have to do it, man. You got to put that picture up on the IG page one day.
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah. When I did that meme with Marge's tall ass hair from from that Halloween episode.
You gotta recycle that one and put it again. It's been too long.
Yeah.
Because for those of you that don't know, the Simpsons guy had a glorious head of hair in his younger days.
Mm-hmm. Something that glorious can't survive very long.
They say such a thing is not meant to last.
Mm-hmm. Such a thing of beauty.
It's not meant to last. All right, so let's get into the episode. All right? Okay, so we have our chalkboard gag to which Bart is writing, adding, quote unquote, just kidding. Doesn't make it okay to insult the principal.
That's
very true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
We couldn't get in, get away with insulting the boss like that.
Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. And the couch gag is the family walks into the room, but the living room is not the normal living room. It is actually a recreation of what's called the relativity picture, Escher's relativity picture,
mm-hmm.
which most of you may know as the crazy stairs picture that's
pictures
in
stairs from every single direction possible.
Yeah. And it's in every single college dorm room you could probably think of.
Mm-hmm.
Especially at that time.
Yeah. And they had two original gags.
Yeah, there you go.
Right, two original gags to start this episode. So it looks promising right now.
We are off to a good start.
Uh-huh. So, and we're also opening up somewhere we haven't opened up before. The Simpsons basement.
No. We have been in the basement. We have never opened a show in the basement.
Mm-hmm.
Until now.
Yep.
And so we see a van outside of the Simpsons home. Stern Lecture Plumbing Van.
Mm-hmm.
And the slogan is, I told you not to flush that. And so we're in the Simpsons basement and the plumber says, looks like you got a leak. And as he says that, there's like a foot of water and a leaky pipe right in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Marge is like, could you start fixing it pretty soon? The basement's getting awfully flooded, and I think the cat's down there.
And we see the little tail, like a periscope, and we just hear, under the water.
Uh-huh.
And the plumber says, yeah, I probably won't be able to get all the parts I need for 2-3 weeks, and that's if I order in a day, which I won't.
Marge's like, oh, dear. And then we hear a little beep, beep, beep go off, and the plumber had a pager.
Yeah,
this is the 90s, guys. This is the 90s.
And it says low battery. But he says, emergency call. Gotta go. He starts to take off.
And Homer's like, wait, what should we do to get until you get back?
And the plumber says, put a pan down there. So Homer, it's like a cake pan, right?
Yeah.
He grabs a cake pan and he puts it onto the water and it floats away. And he says, oh, it didn't work. That's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah, my wife was actually watching this with me. He's like, what does he mean by put a pan down there? Like, you know when you get the leak from the ceiling, you put a pan under there to catch the water? He's like, oh, okay. He's like, it wasn't going to be helpful here, was it? Like, no.
And so he cuts a Homer going to work.
Right. Yep. And he's stuck in traffic. And Homer's like, lousy traffic jams. The traffic report will get me out of this one.
And he turns on KBBL, and it's Arnie Pie,
mm-hmm.
Arnie Pie in the sky.
Uh-huh.
He says, this is Arnie Pie. Looks like we got a little accident that's backing up traffic as far as this reporter can see. and the camera pans out of the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crash helicopter.
That's causing
yes,
the traffic
causing
jam.
This whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So Homer finally gets to work, but he's late, and he pulls into the last spot available.
I don't remember ever seeing the parking lot of the power plant being that huge before.
Yeah, no. And not close to the Simpsons house either.
That's the best part.
Uh-huh.
So Homer parks, yes.
He parks the car. He gets out. There's a fence right next to him, right?
Like a barbed wire fence.
Yeah. And he turns around and he sees Bart.
And it's apparently this fence runs behind the Simpsons house in the backyard.
Uh-huh. So Homer, Bart from his bedroom window, he waves at him. He's like, hi, Dad.
And we're like, yeah. And he walks towards the entrance. And as he's getting close, he sees Lenny and Carl pull up to two spots right in front of the entrance. And Homer says, hey, how come you guys get such great parking places?
And then Lenny kind of looks kind of shifty and goes, it's a secret.
To which Carl says, shut up.
So Homer walks to his workstation and he sits down in his chair. And the chair collapses under him. He grabs the stool, right? He looks at the bottom. Econo-save budget stool, factory second. And he grabs a little pen and paper that he had. He said it was a little notepad, right? Mm-hmm. He's like, all right, Econo-save, you just made the list. And it was Homer's revenge list.
Yeah.
Did you see the Bill of Rights was on there?
The Bill of Rights was on there. It scrolled. I need to go back and look at it and see things. But he had the plumber already on
there. Yeah, Stern Electric
Plumber. He already had him on there.
On his revenge list, yes. So he adds Econo-save to the very end of the list. And then he grabs his ruined stool and he decides to go see Lenny and Carl, right? And he walks into their workstation. He's like, hey, will you guys help me fix my... And he stops when he sees them. And they're sitting down on these big, comfortable, vibrating chairs. And they even got their names stitched on the chairs.
Embroidered.
Mm-hmm. So he goes, hey, how come you guys got better chairs than me?
To which Lenny says, it's a secret.
And Carl looks at him angrily, shut up.
And so we cut to the soda machine there in the lounge, right? Mm-hmm. And Lenny presses a ring with this little pattern on it onto the machine and gets a soda without paying for it.
Mm-hmm. And Homer walks up right after that, and he pulls out a bunch of change from his pocket, right? And he asks the guys if they want to go bowling that night.
Lenny says, nah, we're busy. And Carl says, like, yeah, we got things to do.
And Homer's like what?
And Lenny says, it's a secret.
So we cut to Carl. But Carl can't tell him to shut up because he's drinking some soda.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see him glaring at Lenny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Homer turns around and he looks at Lenny. Shut up.
That's a great scene. Right?
Yes.
I love where they went with
that. Oh my God. I didn't see that coming at all.
Homer got sucked into the pattern.
Uh-huh.
So good. And so we cut to the Simpsons house, right? The day work day's over. He's sitting at dinner with the family. So anyway, Lenny and Carl are never around on Wednesdays, and they don't tell me where they go. It's like a conspiracy.
And Bart goes, a conspiracy, eh? You think they might be involved in the kid assassination in some way?
Homer says, I do. Now. Anyway, I'm going to follow them tonight and see where they go.
And Marge steps in. He's like, oh, Homer, don't start stalking people again. It's so illegal. Remember when you were stalking Charles Carroll because you thought he dug up your garden?
Well, something did.
I don't want you stalking anyone tonight.
And this is one of my favorite parts of the episode. Summer says, oh, okay. Have it your own way. Marge, I'll be back in a minute. I'm going outside to stalk Lenny and Carl. That's such a good
scene. Oh my God. So next thing we know, we see Homer's head popping up through some bushes, right?
Yeah.
And he disappears again. And he tiptoes up to Lenny's Carl, I think. And he has a can of yellow paint with him. And he attaches it to the trailer hitch. By the way, How many cars have trailer hitches?
A few. I mean, we're in Texas. A lot, yeah. You know what I mean? But who knows?
It's not
I
as
would
common.
Say not most.
It's not as common, right? So he puts the paint can on the trailer hitch. He grabs a screwdriver and he pokes a hole underneath, you know, on the bottom, and he walks away. He says, hey, all I have to do now is follow the yellow drip road.
So yes, Homer's plan is that as they drive to their secret location, he'll just follow the paint trail, right?
Mm.
And this is a little hole in the plot, I think, there. So apparently he's trying to be secretive about this, about following them.
Mm-hmm.
But he drives right behind them the entire time. And he didn't even need the paint can. He could have just followed them at that point.
Yeah, Homer never took classes on how to follow anybody discreetly at all.
And so, finally, Lenny and Carl stop this building that we've never seen before in the series up to this point. And Homer is just amazed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, Lenny gets out and says, there's our secret meeting place.
And Carl agrees, yes, let's go inside. By the way, didn't they sound kind of robotic?
Yeah, they did that,
It was
I'm
like
sure
really
was
bad
purpose.
Acting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so, sounds good, they walk in. And there's a large man wearing robes at the door, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they walk in, and Homer's just like, okay, I'm just going to stroll in, right? And he walks in, humming.
He was swinging his arms around, just trying to look casual.
And this big man just stands in front of the entrance where he's going. He moves to the side.
Uh-huh.
And Homer just turns around, still humming and walking the same way.
Uh-huh.
He's not that dumb.
No.
That guy would have destroyed him. So, oh, he's a big dude.
Uh-huh. So, next thing we know, we look at this glass dome on top of this building, and Homer is splayed out on top of the dome, looking inside. He's like, hee-hee, I can see everything, and they're none the wiser. And just when he said this, we see that, of course, Homer is rather a hefty fellow.
Yep.
So the glass starts to, like, crack all around him.
It pretty much outlines his body, and then it breaks, of course. He falls in, and Moe's there, and he says, an intruder!
And Skinner goes, he will pay the ultimate price.
And Dr. Hibbert jumps in, yes, the ultimate price. And then we see Moe saying, get out of here, as he tosses Homer out of the meeting place, right? Much like he does to him at the bar on occasion.
I mean, how strong is Moe? Because he's thrown Barney out and Homer.
Well, remember, you know, as we get further into the series and learn about Moe's past, he's
Kid Moe.
Quite the athlete at some point.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so Homer is at work the next day, and he is talking to Lenny and Carl, and he says, I saw weird stuff in that place last night. Weird, strange, sick, twisted, eerie, godless, evil stuff. Now on in.
And Carl's like, we don't know what you're talking about, Homer.
And then Lenny says, and you can't join the Stonecutters because it's too exclusive.
And Carl is just really frustrated
with
Lenny at this point. He says, well, it was a real nice secret organization we had once.
And Homer's like, Stonecutters, eh? How do I join?
And Lenny says, there are only two ways to gain membership. Be the son of a Stonecutter.
Next.
Or save the life of a Stonecutter. And he starts to eat his sandwich.
Right. And Homer says, hey! And he grabs the sandwich and he stomps on it. He's like, I saved your life. That egg sandwich could have killed you with cholesterol.
And Lenny goes, Homer, forget it, Homer. While it has been established that eggs contain cholesterol, it has yet to been proven conclusively that they actually raise the level of serum cholesterol in the human bloodstream.
Homer says, so one of those egg council creeps got to you too, huh?
And Lenny goes, oh, you got it all wrong, Homer. It's not like that.
And as that happens, a man in egg costume creeps and runs away.
By the way, did you like the squeaky noises he made?
Yeah.
And Homer goes, you better run, egg!
Well, I mean, if they're not that great for you, eggs are great. So.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with egg salad in my book.
Egg salad's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Homer is now in bed with Marge, whining, right? She's like, why don't people like you, Marge?
And Marty's like, everybody likes you. You're a wonderful person.
Why don't those stupid idiots let me in their crappy club for jerks?
And Marge goes, I'm sure it's nothing personal, Homer.
He says, it is. It's been happening to me all my life. And he flashback to young Homer, mm-hmm. right? And he's climbing into a little tree fort. And there's a little boy there. And he says, hey, Billy. Hey, Joey. Come on in. There's plenty of room. And he says, sorry, not you, Homer.
And young Homer goes, why not?
And he points to a sign that says there's a no Homer's club.
And Homer goes, but you let Homer Glumklitch in.
And it's this weird kid just pops his head out the window and goes, yep.
And the little boy says, it says no Homers. We're allowed to have one.
Homer says, oh. And he's just like, I felt so left out.
And Marge goes, kids can be so cruel.
Marge walking by is like, we can? Thanks, Mom. And we hear Lisa start screaming from her room. Ah, I'll cut it out, Bart.
Bart took it as permission.
Yep, of course he did.
Mm-hmm. So Homer is continuing to be really, really mopey the next day at dinner. And he says, I'd give anything to get into that, into the Stonecutters.
And Lisa asks him, what do they do there, Dad?
And Grandpa Simpson goes, I'm a member.
And Homer says, what do they do? What don't they do? Oh, they do so many things, they never stop. Oh, the things they do there, my stars.
And Lisa goes, you don't know what they do in there, do you?
Not as such, no.
And then Grandpa goes, I'm a stone cutter.
And then Bart jumps in and says, Dad, remember those self-hypnosis courses we took to help us ignore Grandpa?
Homer's like, do I ever? It's 5 years later and I still think I'm a chicken. I'm a chicken, Marge.
Marge's like, I know. And Bart says, maybe we should be listening to him now.
And Grandpa once again says, I'm a member.
Marge's like, huh?
What?
Huh? And Lisa jumps in. She's like, you're a member of the Stonecutters, Grandpa?
And Grandpa goes, oh, sure. Let's see. And he pulls out his wallet and he starts going through it. I'm an elk. Are those guys still around?
Yes.
He's like, I'm an elk, a mason, a communist. I'm the president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance for some reason. Ah, here it is, the Stonecutters. So Grandpa has a busy social calendar.
Yes, he does. Apparently. And Homer's like, this is it. My ticket in. They have to let me in. If I'm the son of a member, I'll take this communist one too. And he walks out. Oh my goodness.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And so Homer goes to the next meeting, dragging Abe in, right? He's got him by the shoulder. He's like, coming through. Can't throw me out. My father's a member. I'm in.
And Lenny goes, okay, Homer, you're in. Just don't point that thing at me. And he just pushes Grandpa away, right?
Yeah. And he says, oh, thanks, Lenny. When am I going to be initiated?
And Carl steps in. As soon as number one gets here.
And Homer starts laughing. Number one? What kind of stupid wiener name is that? Hello, my name is number one.
And so forth.
He couldn't think of anything else.
So Lenny goes, we call each other by number, not by name. Carl is number 14. I'm number 12. Burnsy's number 29.
Homer goes, you outrank Mr. Burns here?
And Lenny goes, sure, watch. Hey, 29, get over here.
Burns walks over.
And Lenny pinches him on the nose.
Yes, and Burns is like, thank you, sir. May I have another? And then Lenny kicks him in the ass and he falls over. And Burns is just there saying to himself, patience, Monty. Climb the ladder. I love that scene.
By the way, how
Mr.
much...
Burns is nobody there.
Yeah, nobody. But how much patience could an elderly man have?
Oh, I don't know. But he'll take it out on Lenny at work, uh-huh. for sure. And just then, a man walks out from behind a curtain onto the stage and behind a podium. And Homer's like, is he the leader?
And Mo goes, of this chapter. There are other chapters all over the world. And it has been foretold that someday a chosen one will...
Okay. I didn't ask for your life story. Homer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they blindfold Homer and they lead him to the front of the stage. Right? And Carl says, let the initiation begin.
So number one here, who is...
Voiced by the great... what's his name?
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Yes, the almost perfect... Patrick Stewart.
L. Ray has a problem with him working on Star Trek.
Yeah. He's Professor Xavier, okay? That's what he is. He's Professor Xavier.
He also does a bunch of voices on Family Guy.
Yeah, he does. So he's awesome. Patrick Stewart's really cool.
So then he goes, all stonecutters must take the leap of faith. If you survive this five-story plunge, your character will be proven. And Homer's really nervous, like,
and Mo says, happy landings, and he pushes him. And Homer falls like 2 feet to the floor, and everyone's, you know, laughing at him.
Because Homer really thought he was going to fall five stories.
But
mm-hmm.
you hear the floor creak, and then the floor collapses, and you hear Homer going, five different times consecutive, right? And you can hear Homer from the bottom, I think I have to do it again. My blindfold came off.
So next thing we know, number one is leading Homer to his next test, and Homer is blindfolded. He says, this ritual is called crossing the desert. And Homer walks and he gets pedal on the ass by Dr. Hibbard, Principal Skinner, Kent Brockman, Krusty, Moe, Mayor Quimby, and Willie.
Willie. Like, Homer's the only one that's not part of this club.
Even Willie's in here.
Even Willie's in here. And number one says, and this we call the unblinking eye. And he walks him back the other direction. And in the reverse order, Homer gets paddled all over again.
And Homer's like, hey, have you ever noticed that crossing the desert is a lot like the unblinking eye? And it's exactly like the wreck of the Hesperus.
And number one says, and now the final ordeal. The paddling of the swollen ass with paddles.
And they give him another
go. Give him another good one, man.
Uh-huh.
Very fraternity-like.
Yep. And then, finally, we have Homer taking the oath.
Yes.
He's like, and by this sacred parchment, I swear that if I reveal the secrets of the stonecutters, may my stomach become bloated and my head be plucked of all but three hairs.
And Mojo says, I think you should have to take a different oath.
Number one goes, everyone takes the same oath. Welcome to the club, number 908. You have joined the sacred order of the stonecutters, who, since ancient times, have split the rocks of ignorance that obscure the light of knowledge and truth. Now let's all get drunk and play ping pong!
Yay! Sounds like a good idea.
Yep.
And Mo's still upset about the whole initiation oath. He's like, because he's already kind of heavy, you know, and the scene ends there.
He doesn't have much hair either.
Yeah, so Homer's already living the shame of his punishment.
Having a bloated stomach and his hair being plucked of all but three hairs.
Yes. And so we are back in the Simpsons basement and the pipe is still leaking. Remember, we still have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the plumber says, well, to be honest, I never got around to ordering that part for you, so it's still going to be a couple of weeks.
And Homer's like, oh, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
But what if I were to shake your hand in this wise? And they start doing this ridiculous secret handshake.
Yeah.
That ends with them pulling up their shirts and revealing official Stonecutters teen shirts underneath.
And the person says, whoa, I didn't realize you were a member. And he twists his wrench on the pipe once and pulls Snowball out of the water.
And he fixes the problem. Is solved. Mm-hmm. Membership has its privileges, I guess.
It has its privileges, I'm sure.
Now we're back with Homer in the car on his way to work. And there is a huge traffic jam again. He says, hey, so long, suckers. And he kind of pulls off and he goes down this dirt road.
Yeah, a little dirt road.
Mm-hmm. And there's a huge rock right in front of the expressway, underpass, right?
Yeah.
And he presses this big button.
For those of you that don't know, it used to be like those garage openers back in the day with the cars.
Yeah.
The big ones.
And it had that Stonecutters logo on it, right? And the rock splits in two, revealing a secret tunnel that leads Homer straight to work.
And we hear classical music in this tunnel. Mm. And it's not even a road. It's like driving on like carpet.
Yeah.
And the whole tunnel is...
covered in art.
It's covered in all this classic art and candles. And it's really, really cool, actually. Yeah.
Made me want to live there.
Right? Mm. It was awesome. And so Homer... ends up in the same parking spot, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Next to the fence, next to his house. Right?
And Bart's looking at him. Same old space, huh, Dad?
Homer says, yes, but they gave me these roller blades so I can glide to the front door. And he puts them on, and Homer's not gliding. He's just tripping over it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, serves him right for roller blades.
He's really happy, though. He says, sweet.
Yeah, nah. Sorry, roller blade is not cool.
I guess you had too many accidents.
No, these are my old skateboarder prejudices.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. So next thing we know, we're back at Homer's workstation, and we see a guy bringing in Homer's new chair as Carl and Lenny watch. And Homer turns to them and he goes, "Jealous?"
And Lenny says, "Well, no, we've got the same chair."
"You're jealous."
Lenny just walks up to him and says, "Your membership pack," and he gives it to him. It's a little envelope, right?
Mm-hmm.
The little brown ones. And Homer opens it and says, "What's this?" "It's a decal."
Right.
And Lenny says, "Put that sticker on your car so you won't get any tickets. And this other one keeps paramedics from stealing your wallet while they're working on it."
And Carl goes, "Oh, and don't bother calling 911 anymore. Here's the real number." And he hands him a card that says 912.
So dumb. And Homer's just like, ooh, he's very impressed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now Homer's reading a book to Lisa, which is The Secret World History,
mm-hmm.
right? And Lisa says, "I still don't believe all the founding fathers were stonecutters."
And Homer goes, "That's because you trust your stupid school books. Here's what really happened at the signing of the Declaration of Independence." And we have this flashback scene.
And we have Washington. And he's signing it and he says, "A nation is born. Now let us party like it was 1799. And they roll these kegs in, the wooden kegs. And then like Franklin starts chugging one. And I don't know who the other person is. It might be Jefferson.
Everybody starts yelling. They don't yell chug because, again, this is 1700s. They're all in quaff, quaff, quaff.
And so a man lights a match and they... blowing alcohol at it, flamethrower, burns another man's wig.
The owner of the establishment goes, "Please, sir, you're destroying my establishment."
And another man jumps in and says, "We just created the greatest democracy on earth, you low-life commoner." Kicks him.
Uh-huh. And Homer goes, "Do you really want to see how Davy Crockett really died at the Alamo? You must be 18. By the way, since we're talking about history here, it says we just created the greatest democracy on earth. We're not a democracy.
No, we're a republic.
Yes, a representative republic.
Yes,
we're a republic. There is a big misconception all around the U.S.
Republic.
Yes, this isn't a democracy, guys. Not at all.
Not a direct democracy.
No. No, a direct democracy is probably the worst type of government you could have.
Yes, because they'll never have consensus on anything.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Let's keep going.
That's why it says in the pledge, ladies and gentlemen, "And to the republic for
yes.
which it stands."
Mm-hmm. So Marge walks in with some phone messages for Homer, who is drinking beer on the couch. And Marge goes, "Homer, a man who called himself Mr. You-Know-Who just invited you to the secret wink wink at the you know what. You certainly are popular now that you're a stonecutter."
And Homer says, "Oh yeah." And he reads from a book. It says, "Beer, bust, beer blast, keggers, steinhoist, AA meetings, beer nights. It's wonderful, Marge. I've never felt so accepted in all my life. These people look deep within my soul and assign me a number based on the order in which I joined." As he sniffs cheerily.
Oh my God. So next thing we know, we're at the next meeting, and everyone is drinking beer and singing.
Yes, the classic
Stonecutter's song.
Yes, who controls the British crown? Who keeps the metric system down?
We do.
Who leaves Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps?
We do.
And to note, a Martian is there drinking
uh-huh.
with them. Now, they failed here. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Steve Guttenberg a star?
We do.
Who robs K-Fish on their site? Who rigs every Oscar night?
We do.
Classic.
Uh-huh.
Wonderful in the Lord.
Yes. That's my favorite Simpsons song
so
ever.
Good. That's my, I would say that's my second favorite Simpsons.
Is it? Which one's your favorite?
I Happy Birthday Lisa's always got to be my favorite, man. It's just so good. Like,
yeah.
It's just so funny.
It's your birthday.
It's just so classic. It's a feel-good song.
Yeah. By the way, here, those of you wondering who the hell Steve Guttenberg is, if you've ever watched any of the Police Academy movies, he was the curly-haired guy, the main character.
Mm-hmm.
That's him.
Yeah.
So now you know.
Yeah.
And you know who made him famous too?
Yeah, the Stonecutters.
Uh-huh.
And so, number one, right, addresses the crowd. It says, tonight we are here to commemorate our glorious society's 1500th anniversary. And in honor of this momentous occasion, we're having ribs.
Yes. Yes. Everyone is going crazy.
Yeah. Hey, I would have been happy too.
Mm-hmm.
And Homer's like, uh-oh, I need a bib. If I slop any on my shirt, I could lose the respect of my beloved brethren.
That's the only thing, as a Texan, that I didn't like. There weren't beef ribs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or pork ribs.
I don't hate on pork ribs. I don't hate on them either. Given the choice.
Beef ribs.
Beef ribs all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. So number one goes, so let us rejoice and enjoy our meal in the shadow of the hollowed sacred parchment. And he points at it and everyone gasps because it's gone.
And Lenny says, Homer. And he points at the bib that Homer has used for himself. It is
the sacred. Yeah, the sacred parchment that Homer is using as a bib.
And Homer's like, huh? Oh, yeah, thanks, Lenny. And he wipes his mouth all over it with all the rib sauce.
We hear number one, this is just appalling and outrageous.
And Homer's like, what? Did I miss something? And he wipes his mouth again.
And everyone is just, we hear them murmur angrily. Krusty's like, oh.
Oh, God.
And Lenny's like, oh, no, Homer. This is outrageous. You just can't do that.
And Homer's cleaning his ears, and then he blows his nose into it.
And everybody's like, no.
And Carl says, you really are stupid. You know, I've noticed that Carl really has no patience for Homer.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
He doesn't. Even for Lenny's a lot of the time.
Yeah, Carl is not what I would call a really good friend.
No.
Maybe Carl needs to be drunk.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. So now the sacred parchment is trashed.
Yep.
You know, it's torn and smeared, and they still manage to hang it up above the on the wall again,
mm-hmm.
and they're forcing Homer out of the stonecutters.
Yes.
You know, we see Homer handing him his robe, mm-hmm. and then
number one says, "And the official stonecutter underwear too."
And Homer goes, "Oh!" He takes it off and he gives it to him. And number one throws him into a fire, just the boxers right now. And when the boxers are burning up, we see all these ghosts fly
weird.
After him. The horror that is Homer's underwear, I guess.
And Homer says, please don't kick me out. Society is everything to me. Please give me another chance. I've learned my lesson. And as he's throwing this tantrum, he's pounding on the wall, but he's actually pounding on the parchment again,
uh-huh.
and it just turns into confetti at this point.
And then Homer notices, oh, sorry.
And number one says, Homer Simpson, for your continuing and baffling desecration of our beloved sacred parchment, you are hereby banished from the stonecutters forever. And as a final humiliation, you must walk home naked, dragging behind you the stone of shame. And they put a little ankle, what do you call them? There's a proper name for them. But the little collars, right? Like the old school ones.
They weren't around his neck, man.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah. And they put it around his neck, and there's a huge rock attached to it.
Uh-huh.
Right? So he's going to have to drag this down.
And he starts walking home naked, dragging this rock behind him. And as he's walking past Dr. Hibbert, he points at Homer and he says, the mark.
And Homer says, oh, that is just a birthmark. And I'll thank you not to stare. Now, this birthmark, of course, is in the shape of the stonecutter's logo.
Mm-hmm. And Mo goes, he's the chosen one.
Everyone bows before him. And number one says, you are the chosen one whom the sacred parchment prophesied would lead us to glory. Now to the top of Mount Springfield for the coronation. Remove the stone of shame.
And Homer goes, woohoo!
Attach the stone of triumph.
And Homer goes, don't!
Because it's a bigger rock.
It's like a boulder at this
point.
Yeah,
it's huge at that point. Mm-hmm. And everybody runs off. And Homer's like straining, trying to move with the stone. Which is great.
Yeah, hang on. It was something I wanted to ask you something about here. What did I see? Oh, yeah. The chosen one. It doesn't seem to work out really well for the characters that are designated the chosen one.
Why?
Anakin Skywalker?
Ah, yeah, you were the chosen one.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it wasn't pretty, but remember, in the end,
he
Anakin did serve his purpose.
He did bring balance to the force.
He didn't say it was going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. He brought balance to the force, though.
Didn't yeah. But you know what ruined it? Ray?
No, it didn't.
It did.
That made everything better.
No.
You shut your mouth.
No. Now, if there had been an Ahsoka Tano, somebody in the story.
No.
Nope,
sorry. Nope, can't agree with you there. We have the same name. We're linked forever.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Sorry, man.
So, next thing we know, now that Homer has been designated the Chosen One, mm-hmm. he has a new special headdress and robe, right? Yeah. So, they're dressing him up, and he has to walk through this, how would you describe it?
It's like a hallway, like, just like a palace hallway.
Yeah, and there's drapes all over it.
Is this supposed to be a parody of a movie or something like that?
I think
like
it is.
Like one of those Kid Emperors or something like that?
Pretty much.
I would imagine it is.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, but I forgot what year it was. Because I kind of think about like 7 years in Tibet when the kid becomes the Dalai Lama kind of thing. But mm-hmm. I think it's something else. But anyway, so everybody bows down and Homer says, wow, mental note, don't overdo this. And what does he do? He hops off the screen and everybody stands up. Then he hops back on and everybody bows. And back and forth and back and forth.
Uh-huh. Right? And he was having a real good time doing it.
Yeah. And then we cut to Simpsons House.
Yes. Homer is getting a portrait painted of himself, right? And we see the Chosen One on top of Mount Springfield with a heavenly light shining on him while the other stonecutters are behind him, staring at him in wonder. But then we pan to what Homer is doing.
And the pose is the same, but he's holding a beer in his hand on the couch watching TV.
And he's in his underwear.
He's in his underwear.
Just wearing a
just wearing
cape,
the top part,
like a
right?
cape or
yeah,
something.
With the little shoulder part. Uh-huh. And so Homer says, I've always wondered if there was a God. Now I know there is. And it's me.
And Marge goes, you're not a God, Homer.
And Lisa says, remember, Dad, all glory is fleeting.
Homer goes, so?
Beware the eyes of Marge.
No.
Dad, I know you think you're happy now, but it's not going to last forever.
Everything lasts forever.
Don't you see? Getting what you want all the time will ultimately leave you unfulfilled and joyless.
And Homer goes, remove the girl.
He says, Dad, you're not with your stonecutters now. There are no lackeys around to carry out your every... And Bart covers her mouth and drags her away. And then he salutes Homer.
Next thing we know, we're down at the old bowling alley. Yeah. Bart would make a good henchman.
Yes.
You'd be a good henchman. Yep. So next thing we know, we're at the bowling alley. And Homer is... has a ball, was named the Chosen One, right? He hits the pins well, but there's one that's kind of wobbling but refusing to fall over.
Yes, he gets 9, that last one. We hear a gunshot, and the pin gets shot in half by Chief Wiggum,
mm-hmm.
right? This is another strike for the Chosen One. Hurrah! Right? And no. Homer's very happy still about all this.
Yeah, he goes, woohoo!
And then we cut to Homer playing pool,
mm-hmm.
and he breaks, and all the balls move around, and they all just funnel into one pocket.
Mm-hmm. And we see that Mo, who is it?
Mo,
right?
He just says, well, that's just an excellent break.
Uh-huh.
Right? But it's
Carl that's got like a little jack underneath the pool table, and he's raising it so that all of the balls will go toward that one pocket.
Yep. Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the poker table.
Yep.
Right, and Carl shows a pair of tens.
Wiggum Everyone is showing Homer their cards.
Yeah, Wiggum has a pair of kings, Lenny has 3 twos, and Mo has 2 aces. And Homer says, I'm out, so he knows what he has.
Yeah, and Carl goes, no, Homer, you have the royal sampler. He had a 3, a 6, a 10, a jack, and a king. I never heard of the royal sampler before.
That's a good name, though.
It is.
So Homer's bored now, says, oh, I win again, don't I? Woohoo.
And everyone is congratulating him.
Yeah, Homer says, you know, I think you guys are letting me win.
And everyone's like, no, no.
And Homer says, from now on, I want you to be honest with me. I mean, I'm not perfect, right?
And Carl goes, yeah.
And Wiggum's are like, well, nah, yeah,
And Mo's like, run.
And everybody takes off. Uh-huh. And so we cut to school, mm-hmm. right? Lisa's in class and Skinner walks in.
And Skinner walks up to Lisa's, like, the grand exalted leader requests a moment of your time. And he claps his hands. Class dismissed.
And everybody, yay! And even Miss Hoover is saying, yay!
And they all walk away.
Yep. And then Homer walks in. Lisa, you were right.
Wait, but as soon as Homer walks in, what does Skinner do?
Oh, he like...
drops down.
Yeah, yeah, he bows.
He's bowing. And he even exits the room on all fours, backwards.
Backwards, yeah. Uh-huh. It's terrible.
Yep.
And so he says, Lisa, you're right. My happiness is fate.
And Lisa says, you're experiencing spiritual emptiness because your power has isolated you from other human beings.
What do you mean, isolated?
Aided.
This echo, right?
Uh-huh.
And then Lisa says, well, maybe you could reach out to the community and help other people.
And Homer's like, I could help others. I'll get a bunch of monkeys, dress them up, and make them reenact the Civil War.
And Lisa's dad, that doesn't help people.
And Homer's like, couldn't hurt, unless the monkeys start hurting people, which they almost certainly would.
Yes. Guys, stay away from monkeys, guys.
Yeah.
All primates and,
Yeah, they're stronger than you think.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. Any kind of ape, any kind of monkey, mm-hmm. whatever it is, whenever it wants to, it will kill you.
It'll rip your face off and eat it in front of you.
Before you even knew what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So just, I would say stay away from them.
Yep.
And so we're at the next stonecutter meeting, right? And Homer bangs the gavel. The crowd's there. Everybody's toasting each other. And Homer says, brothers, I've learned a wonderful lesson. Helping others makes our own lives better and makes us better people. So instead of just shooting pool and drinking beer, let us stonecutters use what we have to help the less fortunate.
And everybody's kind of like staring at him. And they're like, what the hell? Nobody's saying anything. We hear a bunch of crickets chirping in the background. Mm-hmm. And then Mo goes, he's gone mad with power like that Albert Schweitzer guy.
Okay, so who's Albert Schweitzer? I need to ask you.
If my memory serves me, he was one of those big political union bosses.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to have to look that up. And so Homer starts a stonecutter's daycare center right in front of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And he's seesawing with a bunch of kids at once to mm-hmm. counter the weight.
Yep.
Barney is covered in children, just walking around.
Even Barney can get into the stonecutter.
I know, right? Lenny and Carl playing jump rope. Right, I love this part. Mo's at the top of the slide with a kid, right? And so they go down this tube slide, and then we hear Mo like tumbling around in there. The kid comes out the bottom, and Mo's like, "Oh, for the love of God, somebody get the jaws of life!" So Mo got stuck, which is
yep.
hilarious.
So we even see Herman, that one-armed guy that runs the army surplus store.
Yeah, the old vet.
Uh huh. He's throwing a ball with the kid with his arm. You know, obviously, I don't know how he would play catch, though.
Yeah, I don't know. And then Monty Burns is pushing the kid on the swing. The kid's going, higher! Higher!
And Monty says, I'll give you higher, you filthy little urchin. And he pushes him hard. But he kind of drops to his knees. He's too weak to move.
When the swing comes back, it hits him in the face.
And he's...
and then it comes back and it hits him in the back of the head.
And Bonnie's got like his face is in the ground. He's like, you've won this round.
And then the kid hits him again. Oh my goodness, I love that part.
Yep.
Mr. Burns getting hurt is always a good scene.
Yeah, it is. I don't know why I've seen old people get hurt. Just
because it's not a real old person. But then again, sometimes you see those viral videos on the internet.
Like, oh, let me see that again.
You can't help it.
Yeah. The ones I was showing you right now.
Yeah. And so Homer assembles the whole crew mm-hmm. to repaint a building that's covered in graffiti, right? And the building walks is like, oh, Mr. Simpson, it looks so much better. She even kisses him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful sky blue.
And as soon as she says that, a helicopter flies right into the building and crashes horribly.
It's too close to a sky blue. But then again, why is that helicopter flying around so low?
Yeah.
That was a low building.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, at home... see the pets watching Homer, right, as he speaks to the family.
Yeah, and they look really attentive.
Yes, they're right. And says, you are right, Lisa. I've never felt so spiritually fulfilled. And with my brothers, the stonecutters behind me, this is the beginning of a better world for all of us.
And then we cut to the stonecutters, and we hear Mo saying, "We've got to kill him."
Number one, take it easy, Mo. Let's hear from the Stonecutter World Council before we act too rashly.
And then we see Orville Redenbacher.
Yes, the popcorn dude.
And he says, "Kill him."
And we see Jack Nicholson.
And Jack Nicholson goes, "Kill him."
And we see Mr. T, and he says, "Kill the poo."
And then we see George W. Bush.
No, George H.W.
Bush. H.W. Bush, yes. H.W. Bush.
Dad Bush.
He says, "I'm afraid I have to agree with Orville, Jack, Mister. Can't we just do something to his voice box?"
Of course, George Bush can disagree. Mm-hmm. So number one says, "We might as well face the truth. As long as we're stonecutters, we will control our lives."
And then Mo goes, "Maybe, but maybe we don't want to be stonecutters no more." And next thing we know, we see a crane removing the Baskin Robbins sign and replacing it with an abandoned store sign.
So we cut to the inside of the building, but still has all the ice cream in it.
Yes. That's a glorious purchase.
Yeah. Especially with the ice cream.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So number one doesn't use a gavel anymore. He taps the glass because he can't, hit too hard. Mm-hmm. Silence. And now call to order the first meeting of the ancient mystic society of no homers.
George H.W. Bush rips off the thing and we see their new logo.
Which is Homer crossed out.
Yeah.
So everybody's cheering. And then we see Homer outside the glass window knocking, saying, "Hey, fellas, can I join?"
Number one says, "Sorry, no Homers."
And Homer...
Glucknik.
Yeah. Pops out the window inside and says, "Yep." That was a good callback.
Yes. So now Homer decides to call a meeting at the old Stonecutters Hall. And he says, "Loyal Stonecutters, let us begin our reenactment of the Battle of Gettysburg." So we then pull back and we see a bunch of monkeys dressed in
Civil War uniforms.
Yeah, blue and gray.
And Marge walks in and says, "Homer, you can't just keep hanging out with these globus monkeys. Somebody's going to get parasites." Which is true, ladies
yes,
and gentlemen.
Yes.
That's another reason you should stay away from that.
So Homer goes, "Oh, Marge, kids, I miss my club."
"Oh, homie, you are a member of a very exclusive club."
And then somehow, I don't know, for some reason, Homer goes, "Black Panthers?"
That was a good And Marge says, "No, the Family Simpson, which has just 5 members. And only 2 of those members have special rings."
And then Bart and Lisa goes, "Yeah!"
And they have those old whistle rings. They blow into them. Makes the noise.
Yeah, and Marge's like, "I meant our wedding rings."
And Homer says, "You know, Marge, you're right. Simpson Family is the best possible club I could belong to."
And we see a group hug.
Yes.
And then we go back to the Simpsons house, and we see Homer being paddled by Bart.
On all fours, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Homer's like, "This club better be worth it."
And then Marge says, all right, it's Lisa's turn."
And we end the episode this way. Now, I'm not even going to ask you.
Oh, it is.
It's a 5 donut episode.
We all know what it is.
Today, tomorrow, any day you want to watch this.
And twice on Sunday.
Yes, it's going to be a 5 donut episode. What is not to like?
What is not to like? That's the best way to describe it, I would say. What is not to like?
Yeah. Grandpa apparently is an elk, a mason.
Communist.
The president of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance.
Oh boy, man. I love all the little secrets.
Mm.
You know, the whole shut up gag in the beginning is hilarious.
Yes. Shut up.
Great. I love this episode so much. Yeah, I love how almost everyone's involved at some point in here.
I'm going to stalk Lenny and Carl.
That's great. I love that Burns is a nobody there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's what a great episode, man. There's just so much to like about it.
And, you know, they even did us the courtesy of including powerful members from all around the world into this organization, which we always have questions about our leaders anyway, being involved in these organizations. So I think it is so good. This episode is so good.
Yep. Secret organizations.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever want to give your brain a little bit of a shock, I always look up that John F. Kennedy speech from back in the day.
No.
Where he talks about secret societies.
Uh-huh.
That's a weird speech to hear.
Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't around much longer.
He was not around much longer after that.
Yep.
Coincidentally.
Yes.
So, yeah. Again, this is just classic. It's easily... I'm sure universally it's top 10, but I'm sure for most people it's top 5. For
yeah.
Sure. Like, it's there.
I'm with you. I haven't ranked all of my favorites from the top 10. I know them when I see them. Eventually I'll sit down and
we'll
have to write them down and talk about them. Maybe after we finish the whole thing.
Yeah. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Or at least we catch up to the present.
Yeah, or something like that. We can do that. But yeah, I mean, you know, maybe something we can do is maybe we'll do it. How many seasons are there now?
34, 35?
Maybe what we'll do, long-term plans, we'll get our top 10 from the first 10 seasons. We'll do our top 10 from the second, third, so on. And then when we get to the present, we'll have a...
All-time
ranking. So that'd be fun.
All right. So after the 10th season, we'll be doing a ranking.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
That sounds fun.
Uh-huh.
So, again, I'll watch this one anytime it's on.
I mean,
it's one of those that even if I, hey, man, let me watch an episode of The Simpsons real quick. I want to watch the Stonecutters episode.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those.
You sit down, look through it on Disney Plus.
It's there. Yeah.
Or you'll dig out your old DVDs just to watch this episode. Something I wouldn't do for Fear of Flying.
No. Mm-hmm. Which is good in its own way, but again, it's not.
Yeah, it is
again,
not.
Maybe we have comparison. You know, Fear of Flying is not a bad episode. It just has the rotten luck of being in this season.
Yes. In this point of the season.
It's like everybody that played basketball when Michael Jordan was playing.
Yeah.
Some of those people would have been the greatest of all time if Michael Jordan wasn't playing.
Yeah. Well, one time I was like in my class and I threw a wad of paper into the trash and some kid, "Sir, you gotta yell Kobe when you do that." I'm like, "My generation says Jordan."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So these kids just don't understand.
I'm in that middle point, though, because I remember being a kid and Michael Jordan was everything, and then Kobe came in. I was like, whoa.
You know what's really sad?
The whole shift. In
yeah, but you know what's really sad? These kids would think LeBron James is the best.
Mm-hmm. I have Kobe above LeBron.
Yeah.
And I have Michael above everybody.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people above LeBron. Bird's up there.
To me, it's Jordan, Kobe, Bird, Magic.
Magic's in there, too.
And now number 5, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Hakeem's in there.
Hakeem the Dream.
Hakeem's in there.
How do we get so far off topic here?
But me as a homer, like Tim Duncan's in there.
Timmy.
The big fundamental.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to be in there somewhere.
Yep.
Well.
Now we're talking about basketball.
Yeah,
anyway.
Remember to give our official show Instagram a follow. As official _homers_donuts without the apostrophes, give us a follow. If you have any suggestions on what we could do to make this show better, send us a message on there. If you can, give us a 5-star rating. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcast, if not, give us a follow, a like, or whatever it is on Spotify and all the other places where you might listen to our humble show. Would you like to mention anything else?
Stay hydrated, everybody. It's hot out there.
Yes, it is still summer in Texas. And until next time, au revoir, suckers.